Well, hello everybody and welcome. This is Around the Table Live from the City of Gastronomy, broadcasting live from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue with the one and only Ken Alexander. How are you, my friend? Thanks for having us out here.
I'm fantastic. Good morning, Jennifer.
I know it's a little early for barbecue, but the truth is you get here really early and you fire up the smokers, and the second you drive into the parking lot here and you hear this smell, and you smell this smell, and you see the smell, all your senses are overwhelmed in a delicious, beautiful way by the aroma of the smoky cooking that's taken place here. It just can't be anything other than comprehensively welcoming. That's how you know you're here.
Yeah, we start early. Every morning we get in here and we get the ribs on the smoker. And we're most of the time we're taking brisket and pork butts off the smoker. We typically smoke those overnight. So,
all right. So here's the thing. Each and every single week, we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, style makers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends to our table here for conversations about this beautiful place, the City of Gastronomy, Tucson, Arizona, the Sonoran region. And we are now officially in the holiday season. It's homecoming. Happy homecoming to all of the Wildcats out there. And if you're a Wildcat in accomplishment, connection, or achievement, or even in spirit, we welcome you today to this homecoming weekend. We also know that people are planning and beginning to plan their holiday celebrations. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. A little later on in the show, we're going to introduce you to our new movie reviewer. Alan Williams is joining us later on today, and he's going to be on with us regularly, and we're going to take you to the movies with us. Because did you know that Tucson is a big movie town? Yeah, they've been making movies here almost since the beginning. And at the most recent Tucson Arizona Film Expo and Film Fest Tucson, we got a reminder of just how important the movie business is to our culture and our economy. We're going to be taking you today into the back of the house to get ready for your own celebrations, for your Thanksgiving celebrations, for your holiday celebrations with Ken and his family. We're going to bring his amazing mother on today with us. Wilma Sadler Morton is going to be here to help us plan, not only in quantity, but in spirit as well, with the traditions that make our holiday table so special. You know, we've just celebrated Halloween and then Dia de los Muertos. The big All Souls procession is tomorrow, and it's all part of the theme today, which is big cooking. We're going to do some big cooking over the next, let's say, 60 days. We're going to do some big eating. We're going to do some big sharing. We're going to have big hospitality. We're going to have big conviviality. We're going to have the big intention of welcoming people we love to our table. We might make a gift of amazing food to our families and our friends. We might make gifts for holiday hostess gift giving or stocking stuffing. We might take you with us to the Economy Restaurant Supply on Stone, a new sponsor here, where we will show you some of the tools that you can get. We want to welcome another new sponsor, Old Pueblo Spice Company and Sal del Sol, some of the finest peppercorns money can buy. Maybe you want to make a gift of something humble and simple, like a bowl of soup, like they have at La Fonda La Hermanita, which is part of the new Coronet complex on Cushing Street, where Chef Erica is making a soup that I think of my friend Ken when I eat, because when you taste it, you go, someone loves me. So we're now officially calling it Sopa de Someone Loves Me, because you cannot make the soup without loving the person for whom you're making it. But that's the intention that Wilma Sadler Morton brought to the efforts that she, when she made food in the kitchens, in the soup kitchens, and feeding people that needed to be fed, she recognized that people needed to be welcomed. She recognized that people needed to be fed. She recognized that people were hungry for something more than a great bowl of food or a plate of food. It's that essence of understanding the human connection that comes from the love that we share through the food that we make that makes Ken's Hardwood Barbecue the place that is so extraordinarily special. You can taste the love and intention here, and so when you're planning your holiday parties and you're planning your Thanksgiving and you want to have bigger expressions of your own intentions of love and welcoming and fellowship and conviviality and hospitality, let me tell you, there is no better place you could go than to my friend Ken Alexander, who joins us here today. Let me say this again. Rewind. Where he is welcoming us to join him today. It's a pleasure to have him back in the spot where I think he belongs, which is as my co-host on these shows together. It delights me to no end to welcome him back. Let's talk big cooking, big food, big flavor, big intention, big heart, big soul. I love the idea that because of everything that's going on in the world, we have to take all of the positive in our lives and the positive and the good and the light and the love need to be amplified, and there's no better way or word to describe that than big. We got to go big with all the good stuff this year.
Right, we have to go big. We're going to be at the All Souls procession tomorrow with our food truck, and certainly have to be big. There's going to be anywhere from 120,000 to 180,000 people out there, so they're all going to be looking for good food.
How do you not get intimidated thinking about cooking for a group that could be that many? I mean, I realize you're not going to put food in 180,000 mouths, but my friend Jose Andres, Chef Jose Andres, does. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know that he's not going to be going. What are the lessons that Chef Jose Andres, when he goes into a disaster situation, or you go into a holiday situation, or a All Souls procession food truck situation tomorrow at the All Souls procession parade, or any of us go into when we're cooking for more people than we normally cook for? How do you not get intimidated by that? How do you approach it so that we don't get intimidated?
Well, it's all about planning. I mean, we expect a line from the time we open until it's over. And so it's food prep, it's having enough people available to get the food out the window. So it's all about planning and having enough food and cooking enough food in advance and prepping. So it takes a lot of work to get ready for such a big event. But like I said, it's all about your planning the days before in order to get the food out and have the food hot and keep the love into the food.
When we talk to your mom in a few minutes, she did this herself. She saw people that needed to be fed, and we're going to let her tell the story a little bit, but I want to hear it from your perspective.
Yeah, well, you know, growing up and even as an adult, you know, I saw my mom sharing food and sharing her table with, you know, with people that needed help. You know, some were family, some were, we'd always have a people by the house on holidays, on Sundays. I remember very well, we used to all, and my mom was the kind of person that took care of other people in the family. I had my Uncle John Rivers, who was blind, and he was elderly, but my mom would always have us go over and pick up Uncle John Rivers, and go pick up Aunt Hazel, and get them over here before dinner started.
We had an Uncle Bill and an Aunt Grace. We always had to go pick up and drop back off because they didn't drive or they were older. You know, I think every family, if we're lucky, if we're blessed, we have those folks.
Right, and my mom was that person that took care of all the elderly folks in our family. And I mean, that's what she did. She also fed the homeless, and you know, she can tell that story, but she started with Thanksgivings and just, you know, instead of sitting around and at our house and we all eating, she wanted to go out and do something special and to help the needy, help the homeless in the area. And then we started going out on Thanksgiving Day and serving the homeless.
One of the things that happens on Thanksgiving or Homecoming or Dia de los Muertos, And we're going to talk about how we tie it all together, because in your own family, when we talk about family members and family legends and family recipes, all month long in November, we're going to continue talking about the fact that the Thanksgiving table in modern culture is an edible ofrenda. So the thing that we see all over Tucson this week with altars and offerings and pictures of our ancestors, I want you to think of your own Thanksgiving table and how the items we place, maybe we even set a place at the table for a family member who's no longer here, how we remember and we still make the yams with the marshmallows because Uncle Bill was the one who really loved those, or they came from your, aunt, sister, girls?
Yeah, aunt, sister, girls, sweet potato pie.
Right, so if you have somebody in your family who had something that everybody identified with and loved, and you keep it on your table, that makes the Thanksgiving table that edible ofrenda, that connection where we're still all together. When we think about that kind of idea of cooking for that many people, it's really helpful to have some very practical ideas about how do I shop for that? Do I need a second oven? Do I need 5 pans? Do I need 20 plates? All of a sudden, I'm thinking like a caterer or a restaurateur, and I don't normally do that. People get scared and intimidated at Thanksgiving or any party time because it calls upon us to do things we don't normally do. Cooking a 20-pound bird is hard, which is why I say cook 2 10-pound birds for the same amount of food. Mm-hmm. There are tips that we as kind of professionals can share with people, and we're going to do that. You've got some fabulous tips about how to plan for cooking for more people.
Right,
and it's
right.
not just as easy as, well, come to my restaurant and I'll send you home with the food. This is really like for stuff when people are going to cook themselves, although we want to tell you, you can come to Ken's and we can hook you up. But that's only part of the story.
Yeah, it's for people to cook at home, but also catering. One of the first questions people call when they call in, say, well, how much food should I order? And so it's a simple method to determine how much food you need to cook and come up with the weight. And it's the serving size. First thing you need to do is, what serving size? How much food do I want to feed my guests? Is it a 4-ounce serving, a 6-ounce serving, an 8-ounce serving?
And how do we know what that is? You know, when we go to restaurants, we get a big plate of food. Some of us go to restaurants like Claim Jumper just because they give us lots of food.
Well, that's
kind of what throws us off, because I don't think we have like a benchmark of what portion size is or how to plan for portion size, both for health and for preparation.
Right. I would say at a restaurant, the portion sizes for a side dish or something like this is going to be somewhere between 4 to 6 ounces as a side dish. And typically, they tell you what the meat is. It's either 8 or, you know, a 12-ounce steak, or so you know how much meat it servings is. And, you know, for a burger, it's typically before cook size, it's 1/4 pound or it's 1/2 pound or whatever. So you figure out what size meat serving you want or what size side dish you want. And I would say typically 4 to 6 ounces for a side dish. And then you take that and you multiply it by the number of guests you're going to have. And then divide it by 16. And that tells you how many pounds of food you need. And once you determine how many pounds of food you need, then that's how we determine a catering order.
Right.
And we typically, in our proposals, we come back and give it to our clients in pounds. But
holiday meals, special meals, are oftentimes when we get to encounter foods we don't normally get. And so sometimes we're tempted to eat a little bit more.
Yes.
And the other thing about holiday meals, especially Thanksgiving, is we love to have leftovers because sometimes it's even better the next day.
Yeah, once those flavors, I mean, the next day those flavors are, you know, melded into that food and, you know,
I call leftovers. It the cure, like it's curing, like it just enhances, like all the things amalgamate and come together and...
Yeah, when you pull Thanksgiving out of the refrigerator and heat it up again, it is delicious.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really delicious.
Like, how delicious is Thanksgiving at your house?
Oh, okay. So I've been traditionally cooking the same thing for... So at my house, I cook for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I cook the yams, the mac and cheese, the collard greens. I typically fry two turkeys, and...
What does that do to the turkey in your hands? Because I've had fried turkey that I didn't love, but I'm going to guess that you probably do some... either brining or marinating so it stays ultra juicy, and because you're a pro, you probably know how to do it.
Right, I do. I mean, as far as brining, I marinate the turkey and then I also inject it.
Oh, so I put like together, Tony Satchery style?
Yeah, but I put together my own injection seasoning.
Nice.
And then so get the turkey there, and the fried turkeys are so, they're really moist, especially if you inject them. And you don't overcook them. But the thing about, we always laugh around the house, with the fried turkey, you know, when you have a roasted turkey, and when you're done, there's a turkey carcass there. You see the turkey carcass. But when you have a fried turkey, everybody's pulling all the bones apart, There's nothing left. You can't even tell what that was. You know, there's no carcass. Just a bunch of, you know, loose bones when you'd have a fried turkey.
That's kind of awesome. Kind of like the thing you might come upon if you were like walking in the desert and you saw a carcass. Kind of like,
yeah,
you know, like
what is
like,
that?
Like blanched out in the sun for, you know, ever. White.
Right.
All right. So I want to talk to you about when we're planning for meals for a bigger group. I want to talk about the cooking. We're doing the planning portion, so you think of the portion size. How do I know how many real portions I'm going to get out of a classic recipe if I'm cooking for a bigger than usual group? Is it enough to just make two of something, or should I try and do the math and make a recipe bigger? What's the best tip for trying to feed more people?
Yeah, you can do it two ways. You know, the thing about my mom's macaroni and cheese recipe, I mean, it came from my grandfather, and I had to make it big. And so I did the math to make it big, and then I just tested it. You know, the last thing you want to do is experiment when you're having a holiday party. You definitely want to...
Because the last thing you want to do is make one and a half of something and have it all be like wonky bad.
Right. So... I would say that Thanksgiving and, you know, when you're having a holiday party, is probably not the best time to experiment with the recipe. But
we've had this conversation for another reason, which is don't experiment by bringing in lots of new things, replacing old things that were the favorites of the people that made your family meal distinctive and sacred. This is a different kind of... try new things.
Right. But the thing is, you know, sometimes it's better to make two smaller.
Yeah.
You know, the two smaller size. If you're going to need that double size, it's better to make the two smaller sizes, especially when you're talking about you're going to have leftovers. You know, it's better than having some big, you know, gargantuan pan of something, and when you could have just did two smaller sizes, that, you know.
Now listen, we're talking with Ken Alexander from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy. We are broadcasting live this morning from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. We're having breakfast in the barbecue joint. We are here. This is barbecue for breakfast. And I love the idea that with all of this just enchanting aromatics that are coming out of the smoker as you prepare for tomorrow's All Souls procession, I'm smelling the food that people are going to be celebrating with their ancestors tomorrow. Will you talk a little bit about the food that you're bringing to All Souls Procession tomorrow and where you're going to be parked and located and where people can find you and when you're going to be there?
Yeah, okay, so we're going to be parked. There is a section for where all the food trucks are there, and sort of like a little bullpen, and we'll be right in that area. They'll assign us our spot tomorrow, but it'll be at the end of the procession, and we'll be there.
And where's the end of procession? Is it downtown?
It's downtown, into Congress. It's right over.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be big fun.
Right. And tomorrow we'll be serving, we'll have our pulled pork sandwiches, we'll have our pulled chicken sandwiches, and we're going to have...
From what time to what time?
So it's from 4 until, 4 until it's over. I think it goes till about 10 or something like that.
It goes till it stops.
It goes till it stops. Right. So, but it starts at 4. We'll be set up there by probably 2:30.
We're going to be at the Five Points Farmers Market tomorrow from 9 to noon, selling beautiful spices from the Old Pueblo Spice Company. We're going to be out there with the fine wood spoons-inspired culinary tools, the granny forks, the wooden spoons and spatulas that will become the family heirlooms for your family and their cooking traditions. We're going to be out there with Sabrina Regis from the Urban Grove and the good folks at the Urban Grove bringing their extraordinary dates that they've been harvesting all month long in October.
I love dates.
I know, they're so good. And we're going to be welcoming you back after this break. This is Around the Table Live from the City of Gastronomy here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, where we are so proud and privileged to be welcoming you to join us at our table today.
Ken.
It's actually Ken's table. And he and his family have welcomed us in so we can turn and welcome you in. Make sure if you're thinking about your own Thanksgiving preparations and you want to do two smaller birds, make one of those birds a smoked turkey. Ken and his family have started smoking turkeys for the holidays, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. How big a bird? Well, we'll tell you soon. This is Around the Table. We'll be back with more live right after this. Panka Restaurant is very proud to announce the arrival of Executive Chef David Solarzano, whose bright, vibrant cuisine is true to both his roots in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, and his world-class culinary training at Le Cordon Bleu. His exciting new original menus feature succulent Arctic char, grilled octopus, and a beautiful salad verde. Happy hour daily from 3 to 5 p.m. Join us for power lunch at Panka every day. Panka is located at number 50 Broadway in downtown Tucson.
This is Bruce Thurston of FineWoodSpoons.com. Everything you cook with one of my spoons will taste better. Jennifer English is making Tucson taste better. Don't miss Around the Table on KVOI, the voice.
To discover the fine art of tacos, you have to taste the fine art of tacos. At Boca Tacos and Tequila, Chef Maria Maison paints with a palette of flavors. Every color represents a different flavor, a different heat. This is real Mexican food. This is the food that Chef Maria Maison grew up eating and the food she dreams of sharing with you. Boca Tacos and Tequila serves gourmet Mexican tacos and fresh original salsas located at 533 North 4th Avenue in Tucson's historic shopping district. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
Ken, what makes your barbecue so delicious?
Well, I don't want to have to kill you, but no. No, well, you know, we keep those secrets pretty close to the vest, but we just put whore love into our barbecue sauce, our brisket, our rubs.
Ken, those green beans that you have are so yummy. Whose recipe is that?
We call them Grandma Wilma's green beans, but really those are my mom's recipe, and she pours mom's love into those green beans.
Ho'oponopono. Love, peace, all gifts from God. Aloha, nui nui.
This is Michelle with Brightway Wellness, bringing you Ho'oponopono from Hawaii. Love, peace, forgiveness, and thanks.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Aloha.
I love you. I'm sorry.
A Spanish proverb, con pan y vino se anda el camino, means with good food and wine, life is never too hard. Discover the world's most delicious and exciting wines for yourself by the glass at Revel, a European-styled bar conveniently located downtown on 9th Street. Cultivate conviviality every Wednesday at our complimentary wine tasting events from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Revel, a space for those who wish to celebrate life and toast with friends, old and new. Cheers.
This is Bruce Thurston of FineWoodSpoons.com. Everything you cook with one of my spoons will taste better. Jennifer English is making Tucson taste better. Don't miss Around the Table on KVOI, The Voice.
One of the most irresistible places in town is Gus Ballon's, where you will be delighted and happy to be called a regular. Nothing's better than walking in and having them call your name and say, welcome back. What'll you have? Or better yet, they already know. But their pies and fried chicken are absolutely positively irresistible. And Jane and Michael Stern of the famous Road Food books declare that theirs is one of the best breakfasts in America, and their cinnamon bun, well, try and find better. They're located at 6027 East 22nd in Tucson, Arizona. To discover the fine art of tacos, you have to taste the fine art of tacos. At Boca Tacos and Tequila, Chef Maria Maison paints with a palette of flavors. Every color represents a different flavor, a different heat. This is real Mexican food. This is the food that Chef Maria Maison grew up eating and the food she dreams of sharing with you. Boca Tacos and Tequila serves gourmet Mexican tacos and fresh original salsas located at 533 North 4th Avenue in Tucson's historic shopping district. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
Ken, what makes your barbecue so delicious?
Well, I don't want to have to kill you, but no. No, well, you know, we keep those secrets pretty close to the vest, but we just put pour love into our barbecue sauce, our brisket, our rubs.
Ken, those green beans that you have are so yummy. Whose recipe is that?
We call them Grandma Wilma's green beans, but really those are my mom's recipe, and she pours mom's love into those green beans.
City of Gastronomy, we are Around the Table with my good friend Ken Alexander at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. Each and every day we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, style makers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends to join us for extraordinary. I gotta fix this just a little bit because we're getting just a tiny bit of echo. Let me see if I can fix this. So, Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, we're here, and soon your mama's going to call in, and we're going to talk about big cooking. And the idea of big cooking and big ideas about food and flavor are important this particular time of year, because we don't want our friends to get intimidated planning parties and, you know, cooking, because we, in our hearts, everybody really wants to be welcoming and hospitable. Everybody wants to be welcoming and generous. And I want you to think about that idea. We're going to actually go to the phones because our new, by the way, welcome back, Ken Alexander.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Great to be
here.
So,
do you love the movies?
I love the movies. I'm a big movie buff.
Are you?
Yes, yes.
So, one of the things we've been talking about doing here, and we used to do it back in the day on the Food and Wine Radio Network, is we talked about movies regularly, at least once a week, with James Rocky, who was the movie reviewer for Netflix, back when Netflix was just a company nobody had ever heard of.
Right.
We were one of the earliest broadcast partner sponsors with them, and we've watched them become this really big deal company and production studio. And so we've kind of forgotten that movies are a big part of our holiday traditions, because when we get together with our families, while we're cooking, we might have a football game on, or we might have a movie on. Or if we're celebrating Halloween, it's nothing without you're the big pumpkin Charlie Brown, or the traditions of movies we watch every single year. Movies, like the dishes we serve, connect us to the past and connect us together. They're our common language. And I almost forgot how important movies are to us and our cultural experience and our families and our traditions.
We're doing the holidays. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean,
The Island of Misfit Toys.
Right. I mean, you know, when I think about the Christmas holiday or the holiday season, yeah, you think about, you know, like you said, Thanksgiving, you think about Charlie Brown, you think about a Charlie Brown Christmas during Christmas time. And I mean, the movies are such a big part of the whole, that whole feeling you get during the holidays, that great feeling you get during the holidays. I mean, and that's what it's all about. It's about feeling good. A lot of times it takes you back to those childhood memories when, you know, you were watching those different shows and you could smell the food cooking in
right.
the kitchen and all the love in the house.
We're going to give you some more of that love in the house. We're going to give you some connection to the movie business, because we here at Around the Table are bringing on board a new member of our family.
Fantastic.
We've saved him a seat at the table. And he is a filmmaker. He went to film school. He's a director. He's a producer. He's an actor. He does stunts. He's a writer, he's a script writer, he's a storyteller, and he's a movie guru. He's a movie expert. He's also a member of our Tucson first responder community.
Wow.
So he has served this community on so many levels. He's now also doing that in his role as the owner of one of the great CrossFit gyms in the region, the Milo CrossFit. And he joins us as our movie guru. Alan Williams is here today, and he is now part of our Around the Table family, and we're going to talk to him about movies and how important movies are at the holiday time. But we're going to do this all year long. We're never going to let it go. We're not just talking movies because it's the holiday time and just because we love movies. We were reminded how much we love movies and how important movies are a part of this community and culture. Of course, Alan previously is perhaps best known to this audience and audiences in the region as somebody who was a movie guy on another station back in another era. We welcome him now. How are you, Alan?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Hi,
awesome.
Alan.
Awesome. Happy to be here.
We are so thrilled to have you. Talk to us a little bit about your love of movies and going to film school.
Well, I remember if someone were to say what got it started for you, I would say 1977. I was standing in line outside the El Dorado Theater here in Tucson to see Star Wars, and I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I left the theater. Absolutely, I've never had an experience like that in my long 10 or 11 years of life, but I left absolutely transformed and decided that that's what I wanted to do, was make movies. I wanted to create that universe, that alternate reality. And so that's where I focused my artistic endeavors as I was growing up and went off to film school. And I mean, all those years ago, I graduated in 1993, but I'll never forget that feeling as a film student of, you know, it was anything for the shot, anything for the film. The story was key. The creative juices that were flowing back then, that you just had to create your movie, tell your story, and all for the, it's almost like a drug, because the high that you get when you're in a movie theater and you see your characters that you've created, the visuals that you created, and you put that together in an artistic way on the screen that tells a cohesive story that engages the audience. They laugh when they're supposed to laugh, and they gasp when they're supposed to gasp, and they react the way you want them to react. And there's no greater feeling than getting that feedback from an audience when you create an alternate reality and throw it up on screen, and they are willing to walk through that door and live in that world that you've created. So it's a drug, I tell you, and it's been an obsession of mine ever since.
Listen, we're thrilled to have Alan Williams, our new movie reviewer, joining us each and every month, and we're trying to hopefully get him on even more than that, because we all love movies.
Yeah.
One of the things, Alan, before we let you go, is reminding people that the more you know about how movies get made, the more you can enjoy them.
Right.
So you'll really be able to, it's like the more you know about food, the more you can enjoy the food. You can have conversations about how that smoky flavor tastes so delicious, or something is really wonderful. I want to be immersed in the enjoyment of it. You're going to come and help us understand why the movies that are really buzzy and popular, why the movies that are earning hundreds of millions of dollars in their opening weekend at the box office, deservedly or undeservedly so, do so. And for that,
right,
we thank you, Professor Film, because you are going to give us an education in something we already know and already love, but we're going to refine our palates, so to speak, and for that we're enormously grateful. Have you got a tip for us on this Dia de los Muertos weekend, where we're getting ready tomorrow to celebrate the All Souls Procession Parade? Is there a movie that you could recommend that's one of your favorites that really brings the spirit of this coming season to life?
Oh, wow.
I don't want to suggest something with zombies.
Not a big zombie fan. Boy, that's so difficult, because the Dia de los Muertos procession and event is such a meaningful, it goes so far beyond, I think people superficially just sort of associate it with Halloween, and it's not. It's something so much larger and so much bigger than that. If anybody has not participated or even gone and witnessed the procession, it's something spiritual.
I want to talk about that spirit, and I want to talk about the movie Coco. I think the movie Coco does that, maybe in a Across America kind of way, but there was something, mm-hmm. I cannot watch that movie and not cry.
Oh, wow. Well, see, there it works. That's what it's supposed to do. So, yeah.
Alan Williams joins us from his Milo CrossFit gym, one of the great gyms in the region. I want to give
that
a good plug, because it's a fantastic place. And hopefully you'll get me in there one of these days.
Yes, I hope so.
Work off all this fantastic barbecue.
We'll broadcast from here.
I promise we will. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks for letting me pop in on the show. We'll talk soon.
All right. We have one more new sponsor I want to tell you about. Ken, do you ever remember going up to Le Rendezvous restaurant?
I believe so, yeah.
They're up on Fort Lowell at Fort Lowell and Alvernon. And they've been there for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And you want to know, it's a family-run restaurant, the Berger family, Chef Jean-Claude and his now next generation of kids who are in the kitchen and the front of the house.
Fantastic.
There's a reason why the classics become classics. We talk about Southern classics, family classics. These are French classics. There's a reason why the classics are classics. The classics become essential parts of our culture and our cuisine for a reason. One of the best steak frites I've ever had can be found at Le Rendezvous. Mm. And the best French onion soup. And some of the other specialties à la maison. There are things that they do there that are so wonderful. And they remind you of why they became classic in the first place. And I wrap all of that up with the idea of ooh la la. I want to tell you that ooh la la is alive and well and living in Tucson, Arizona at Le Rendezvous on Fort Lowell, just before Alvernon. There's something about the essence of ooh la la, that idea that something is so wonderfully delicious. I'm not quite sure which I'm going to send you there and urge you to try first. Their bouillabaisse, their traditional French bouillabaisse, is delicious, but so is the steak frites. they do duck confit with the Morenci dark cherry. That's really remarkable. But they have the menu of small plates. Mm-hmm. All are $6. And one of the dishes on that is a beautiful seared scallop. Another is a mini beef Wellington in a real demi-glace. When's the last time you remembered tasting demi-glace and saying, oh my God, that's exactly how that's supposed to taste? I think it's important for us, as the recent Tucson Weekly Awards came out, to remember that there is wonderful French food in Tucson, Arizona, being prepared by a French chef and his family in a tradition that is so recognizable to anybody that's traveled or dreamed about the food of Escoffier. Not because it's fancy. In the bistro, you can wander in and just feel as welcome as you can in any place you've ever been. Do you remember Ooh La La? Well, I do, and I found it again at Le Rendezvous. But those steak frites, that seared beef flat iron steak, which is cooked to perfection with house shoelace French fries.
I know.
But then they make a Grand Marnier souffle. When's the last time you had a Grand Marnier souffle? A souffle is a thing of beauty. And in the hands of Chef Gordon, it is just that. If you want to celebrate a special occasion, if you want to have a moment where you are reminded of what delicious tastes like and you want to try something completely different, that's where I'm going to take you. All right. Thank you to Chef Gordon, Chef Jean-Claude, and their family for welcoming me into the Le Rendezvous family. And they're open for lunch Monday through Friday, and a couple days a week, you might see me up there. I'd love to see you. So the highlight of this show, and in the last portion of the show today, we have someone who has been inspiring me since I met her, but been in my heart and head all week long as I prepared for today's show, and that's your mother. Tell everybody a little bit about your mom.
Well, I'm going to see my mom next week. Her 80th birthday party is next Saturday.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so.
Well, happy birthday, Mama.
Yeah, so I love my mom. My mom's my hero. And I've been cooking in her kitchen since I was nine years old. But you know, my mom reared seven of us, and most of that time she was a single mom.
Wow!
And she worked midnight, so we just remember her, you know, doing what it took to rear us, you know, and to feed us, and you know, so.
She's a truly remarkable, amazing woman.
Truly remarkable.
And it gives me tremendous honor to welcome her back to the show. Wilma Sadler Morton is a hero of mine, too, because she introduced me to an idea that I think is going to have an important role in my life moving forward. I haven't gotten the idea of her big cooking out of my head. I haven't gotten the idea of cooking for a lot of people who are hungry for more than just a bowl of food. She really changed my life the day I met her, and she doesn't know that she did, but I'm telling her now. Wilma Sadler Morton, welcome back.
Well, hello, Jennifer. I've been listening.
Hi, Mom.
And hi, dear. I've been listening and smiling. I was listening to the guests you had before, but I'm glad to be back. And I heard you earlier talking about holiday cooking and holiday food, and that's what we're getting ready to do on this in our neck of the woods. We're having our first Christmas party December 7th, and so I have to plan a big bash for 50 people. So I'll be cooking big, Jennifer.
Wilma, one of the things you did when you introduced me the idea of cooking big is not being intimidated by being called inspired to cook big.
Yes.
Will you help us overcome any intimidation or any fear we might have in order to be able to express the love and intention we have to cook big?
Well, cooking big to me is cooking with love. It's something you must want to do. It must be in your heart. And you just cook for your family. Cook for you. Don't cook anything that you wouldn't like to have, and make it look good. The first part of eating any food is looking at it. You look at it first, and if it does not look good, you won't taste it. So make your food look good as well as taste good. And plan something that the majority of the people can eat. We like things, but you have to think of the people that you are feeding. Think of think of the people that you're feeding. If it's young people, find out what young people like. If it's older people, we can't have a lot of sugar and salt and things. You can make tasty dishes and do not use a lot of salt and sugar. So like I said, just make it look good and make it taste good and make it something that you would want to eat.
When you're preparing a Thanksgiving meal for a larger group than you normally cook, what are some of the technical things that you can share with us that you've learned over the years that help you cook big, that the home cook can benefit from learning from you?
Well, my dad used to say, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So always cook a little extra, because there will be people that will come that you were not expecting. So always cook. When you cook big, cook a little extra. And then, as I said, try to make it look good. And then make it taste good. But remember the audience that you are cooking for.
Do you know that's my family motto? If my son's listening right now, he's going to be like, Mommy, you say that all the time. Yeah, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Need it and not have it, because there's always going to be those extra people. And one of the things I used to do was try something new on the holidays, and my children would just go crazy. They would say, no, Mama, don't do that on holidays. Do that at other times, but make the traditional dishes that we know taste good, that we're looking forward to. Make those dishes. Don't try anything new on holidays, especially when you're having your family that's used to eating certain things at the holidays.
And so if I'm serving 50 people, you know, and I'm going through my usual portioning, is it easier and better for someone who's not a professional cook to get two 10-pound turkeys or 12-pound turkeys versus one big 24-pound turkey?
Yes.
Is it better to make two normal-sized sweet potato pies or one giant sweet potato pie?
No, portion-wise, you can, it may not sound like it, but you can really cook three pies easier and better and make sure it turns out good instead of one big giant pie. But I've learned how to cook in portions, and that way you can divide it up better, and you can portion it out better. And when you have a big dish compared to smaller dishes, sometimes they don't, some of it may not cook well. It may not get done. So I have learned how to just mix everything big, but then when I get ready to cook it, put it in smaller pans or pots or
great
whatever
tip.
And cook it. Yes.
We're going to turn to your very talented and generous son from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, Ken Alexander. And in the idea of cooking big and portion controlling and knowing how much to make for people and all the rest of this, have him talk a little bit about this idea of how do I plan ahead for when I'm having a party, and how do you help me do that?
Yeah, so planning ahead when you have a party. First, figuring out how much food you need. Right now, we're starting our holiday our holiday menu, and we're offering turkeys. We're offering turkeys started yesterday. So we need a little notice, like 72 hours, to make sure to order your turkey. But we're offering our turkeys for $59.95, our smoked turkeys. They're about 14 pounds.
I'm going to make that noise.
Yeah, so we sold a lot of turkeys last year. And also, you can get a holiday meal with a turkey and three of our delicious side dishes and cornbread.
Green beans, the best
mac
I've ever
cheese,
had.
Yeah, potato salad, cornbread dressing. So we have several side dishes that you can select from.
That are Thanksgiving only as well as the...
Yeah, so they're in the restaurant, but we're bringing in the cornbread dressing for the holiday.
And I have to say that the side dishes here at Ken's, I know he gets cross with me when I say this, but the side dishes are as good or even better than some of the protein. I love your brisket. People love the rib. I love your side dishes. They're the best ever. Miss Wilma Sadler Morton, Ken's mom, I want to thank you so much for being here with us. Happy Thanksgiving and happy 80th birthday.
And Jennifer, and the same to you. And don't eat too much for the holidays. The majority of the people tend to gain about 10 pounds between Thanksgiving and Christmas from eating good food. So have a wonderful time with your family, and I'll talk to you soon, son.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right, Ken, we're going to wrap this up and remind everybody that you're going to be out tomorrow at the All Souls Procession with the Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Food Truck.
Yes, we'll be there tomorrow. We'll be there by 4 o'clock. We'll be set up to go. And come by Ken's Hardwood Barbecue at 5250 East 22nd Street, Cross Streets Craycroft and 22nd. We'd love to see you here.
Get your holiday ordering in for your catering and get your pie orders in soon.